Welcome to you all to our online worship service, and it's wonderful to know that we have the local church family listening in, but we've also got people from other places. You're so welcome. And I also know this morning that we've got people joining in from Mongolia. We love you very much out there. God bless you. And also Abu Dhabi, that was a new one for us this week. So I know that somehow the Lord is using technology for his great name's sake. And I pray that all of us will be built up and strengthened in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus this morning. We're going to look at a passage from John's Gospel. So if you could turn there, if you've got a Bible or using your phone, whatever you're using this morning. And we're going to look at John chapter 15. And we are going to be speaking and looking at this amazing analogy of who Jesus is to his people. Who he is to and for his people. And Jesus speaks of being the true vine. And a vine is something that is producing, releasing fruit to branches, bearing fruit. And Jesus says he's the true life, really, the true resource of his people. And it's a wonderful analogy. Jesus puts it perfectly. I'm going to read these few verses, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. And then at the end, I pray that we will experience his life in a fresh way. So we're going to just listen to the word a bit, and then pray together and experience God move in our own hearts and lives. So John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's as far as we're going to go in John 15 this morning. And the main thrust of the message that God's put on my heart for you is this one phrase: abide in me and I in you. Very simple. Like a branch in a vine, connected and receiving life, abide. Now that word means to stay, to remain. And I'm going to put my slant on it: to be at home with him. And to live with him as our home. Jesus being our home life. The place we get all our comfort, our love, our joy, the resources that we need from him to produce life. Now, in the Old Testament, God himself was revealed to his people as the one who was with them and among them. Do you remember Moses? He said to the Lord, "Lord, we don't want to go unless you go with us." And the Lord promised, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now that's a wonderful reality. And God went with his people. He was this pillar of fire and this cloud during the day. He manifests his glory in that way. And then Moses had this tabernacle or tent where he used to go to meet with God, the Shekinah glory of God. And he would come out so transformed because he would meet with God in that tabernacle, in that location. But you know, then Jesus came. And I'm going to skip through all the biblical history very quickly. But Jesus came. And he came, this is the remarkable thing, the Lord of heaven and earth, God himself, in his fullness, became man. The Word became flesh, John's Gospel says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God. We beheld his glory. Now Jesus came, and he came remarkably, the Word of God made flesh in a human baby. And that's the incarnation. And that word dwell among us means he made his home. He dwelt in a human body. Isn't that remarkable that God himself should step down from glory, the creator of heaven and earth and all things, this awesome one, would step down and come into the form of a man. That was the glory of God moving around Israel. God himself in human flesh. But you know, the greatest miracle of all in any single person's life is that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And to those who receive him and believe in his name, something remarkable happens. It's absolutely remarkable. It's that word that Jesus says, you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. He cleans us. He gives us a new heart, a new spirit. You see, we were dead in sin and transgressions. We were not able to be with God or contact God. God himself could dwell among us, but we couldn't have God in us. We couldn't experience what God desired for every human being. And that was this unity, this union with himself. And so through faith, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, accepting him and believing that he is Lord, that he died on the cross, he rose again for us, and that he is our Savior, personally receiving Jesus, he then gives us a new heart. We become new creations, and he puts his spirit within us. That is the greatest miracle that I can think of ever happening to a human being. That God would make his dwelling not just around us or upon us, but that he would live within. Jesus promised this. He said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send another comforter, a helper, someone who will strengthen you. He is God himself. He is the Spirit of Christ. It is as if I am going to be with you always, because he will come and live in you, and he will be with you always. So now, in Mongolia, in Abu Dhabi, in your office, in your home, there are tabernacles of God everywhere, because you are a dwelling place of God. You're the temple of God, the Holy Spirit. God in human flesh. As I stand and speak to you, I know that I know God is in me. And if you've received Jesus, God, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, has come to dwell in you. What a wonder and what a miracle of God's mercy and grace. And Jesus promises never to leave or forsake us. Imagine that. You know, I love the old hymn, and it actually often moves me to tears when crowds sing, abide with me, fast falls the eventide. I think it's one of our nation's favorite hymns. It's sung at sports events and at big events all over the country. But you know, Jesus has gone one better than being with us. He now dwells in us. And we don't have to ask him to come. He has come. and he does live in us. So to sing Abide With Me, it's like asking someone to come for Christmas when they're already there. You wouldn't do that if you were inviting somebody to come for Christmas and they're already there at home. You wouldn't say, come and abide with me, because he has come and he has promised never to go. I will never leave you or forsake you. That is the joy of the Christian experience. You can move around the world. You can be anywhere, but he himself is always with you. He is the God of love. God himself is love. And he comes and fills your heart with the love of God. And you are perfectly loved. You've been made clean. And you have God himself living in you. I'm going to read a scripture that Paul gives in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. And it's just, just listen to this miracle of truth. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's the vine, you see. And the branch, it is joined to. The branch is joined to the vine. And that's what Jesus has done. He has placed us in him. And we are in Christ, joined. But we are also one spirit with the Lord. There is this union, oneness with the Lord. Where? In your spirit, or in your heart, or in your inner man. You see, God himself does not come to dwell, live permanently in your soul. Your soul can be carnal. It can be on the things of this world. But God himself is always in your heart, in your spirit. But what he wants to do is fill you like a branch with himself, so that you're not just joined and one in spirit positionally in your heart, but that you and I and the whole body of Christ will be filled with God himself. The joy of it is that God not only has come to give you eternal life. Scripture says he who has the Son has life. And that life, that word life, is the Zoe life of God, describing the uniqueness of the quality and the essence and the nature and the power and the glory of God himself. He has come to live within your heart. But he doesn't just want you to be joined. He doesn't just want me to be joined positionally with him. He wants to fill me as a branch so that I live in that vitality. I don't want to be dehydrated. I don't want to be a dead branch. And I know you don't want to. He cuts them off. He prunes those who've been fruitful. Cuts us back sometimes. Because he knows what he is doing. I don't know if you've ever felt the Lord pruning you, cutting you back. I have. And in this season where God is reviving our hearts and lives, I believe there is a real sensitivity to the Lord's pruning. Why? Because he wants to do more in us and through us as we recognize that actually there are changes he wants to make in my life and in our lives as a church. Why? Because he wants us to bear much fruit. The fruit of Zoe life. You see, the Zoe life in your spirit, God's saying, I want to fill you as an entire person. That my life will be in your soul, in your emotions, in your mind, the mind of Christ, and in your will. And not even limited to that, I want my life to give, Zoe life, giving life to your mortal body. In other words, that same resurrection life that Jesus was raised with lives in me, giving life to my body, healing, energy, strength beyond human ability. Ah, what a wonder of it that the Lord wants to flow with all his riches, his nature, and fill us with himself. Eternal life. Everything is possible for Zoe life. Everything is possible. All the issues in my flesh life, and I do have one. Sadly, it is something that crops up again and again where I make a wrong decision or I react wrongly. But God is merciful. He forgives me when I confess my sin. But I know that I am not the solution to change myself. But his life, his Zoe life, can change me. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 says. The fruit of Zoe life, God himself, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I don't just want to be joined. I want to be full of God, full of his nature, so that actually, as a dwelling place of God in the earth, wherever I go, people will behold his glory, the glory of the one and only Jesus Christ. And that's what God is doing, beloved, in you and in me. He wants to fill us. Paul prayed this. He said, I pray in Ephesians 3 that you will be filled with the fullness of God. So in other words, you can have God but not be filled to the full. I wonder, my goodness me, whether we could make that a goal for our lives, that we would be filled with the fullness of God, just as Jesus was filled with the fullness of God, because Christ lives in us, that we will be filled, not by our own human effort, but by his life in us, moving powerfully to transform us in everything. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. Zoe, God's life. God's quality and God's quantity and God's very nature and ability. I've come that you may have me, in other words. Jesus has come so that you can have him, because he's the life. Christ is our life, a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force. I've come that you may have life. And then he says, and more abundantly. So in other words, you already have life, but that you may have it abundantly. You see, we're going into days of the glory of God. God is setting a high goal that you and I would be restored fully into the image of Christ in the things we say, in our actions, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to others, in love for one another, that we would lay down our lives willingly. We would walk in loving obedience to Jesus, because he says, if you love me, you will obey. Well, he, as I abide in him and make my home with him, his love in me makes me so tender-hearted that when he asks me to do something, I'm happy to do it. You see, a dehydrated branch is a little bit like someone who's gone very scratchy, gone very short-tempered, and blows up at the drop of a hat. And that is just the flesh. And we all need to be filled with God. The solution for the flesh is to be filled with Zoe life. Because if you're full of God, there's no room for the selfishness that comes through our flesh life. And by the way, we're going to have to ignore and deny the flesh for the rest of our days. Deny what we want and the feel in that moment and say, Lord, I'm just coming home for a minute to receive everything that I need so that I don't have to show anything but your life in this situation. I don't know if this is helping you, but this is something that God is living and breathing into my spirit for us as his people. Abide, remain continuously. You know, when I read this and I said, Lord, this is probably one of the most profound descriptions of the Christian life. I said, how on earth do I explain it? He said, trust me, I'll do it. But it's a difficult thing to explain a living reality of. But you will know that it's more than positional truth. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. But I believe that Jesus is speaking here of real home comforts. That there's a real experience. You know, when I'm at home, there are plenty of home comforts. I've got a very comfortable sofa. I've got milk in the fridge. I can make myself a cup of tea or a lovely latte or whatever. I've got home comforts. But Jesus is our home. And he's got more comforts for me than anything on earth. Anyone on earth can supply. And I believe that we not just know about truth, but Jesus is moving us into the experience of the fullness of God in our whole beings. Fullness of God, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And this happens through abiding. If you abide in me, I will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit, Jesus said. So in other words, the fruit is the result of abiding in him, having him as my source and my strength and my wisdom and my righteousness and my thought life, that he becomes everything, that fruit is produced. Isn't it interesting? Jesus didn't want a flower bed. He wanted a vine. That was the analogy he was using. Why? Because he wants to produce himself through your life and my life so that his glory will be seen. So that the love that he has for us will be in us and work through us. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, how do I do that? That's what I've been asking the Lord. Lord, I need to understand more and more. And he said, you won't understand it with your head. You'll understand it with relationship. Your head, your knowledge itself, you know, knowledge of truth is important because it keeps you in the guidance of God's will. It is the word of God. It is God himself. God has exalted his word above all things. But it's not just a religious knowledge. It's an experience of life. The very life of God. That's what abiding means. It's a living experience of him. And there's nothing that matters more in this time and this age is that you and I have a living experience of life with Jesus that then will reflect him and his glory to everyone around us. But how do I do this? Now, I'm just going to read these few verses in 2 Corinthians. If you look in 2 Corinthians. Oh, that you and I will be filled with the fullness of God. I love to think of you in the office as this dwelling place of God on earth and his glory seen. And you experiencing him, everyday life, at work, experiencing not just in prayer, not just as we worship him, because that's one way that you activate your spirit, your whole being. You begin to activate your consciousness of God. And as you do that, it's like the reality of God fills you. And God will be seen in our schools. He'll be seen by our children. He'll be experienced in our relationships. And as we witness to the world, there'll be something different because they will experience Zoe life, the very life of God himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is about really the old covenant of Moses. As you know, he saw the glory of God, but he had a veil still, because only in Christ is the veil removed. He had this incredible relationship with God, that his face shone with God's glory. And we're in a better covenant because he lives in us and the veil has been removed. We can see him with the eyes of our heart. We can know him with our heart. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That's God himself. He is the Lord, the Spirit in us, in your spirit or human heart right now. And where he is, there's freedom. There's liberty. But we all with unveiled face. Why? Because Jesus removed the veil. He opened the way for us to come before the very presence of God himself, and for God himself to come clean into a clean vessel and live in our hearts. The veil is removed, unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is God's goal for you and me. Transformation, or that's where the Greek word comes for metamorphosis, that there is an ongoing process of change going on. And we are being changed by the Lord, who is the Spirit. And what do we have to do then to abide in him and to be changed? First of all, the scriptures puts it very simply. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So there is a turning to in our hearts to Jesus. So if we're going to abide in our days with the Lord, live conscious of him, we're going to turn and look for him with our hearts. Turn to him. He's here. But rather than turn to everything else, we're going to look in our hearts, just in faith. Right now, we look to Jesus. Turn and fix our eyes on him. Turn, and then it says, beholding him. Turn and look with the eyes of our hearts to Jesus. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, look at anybody else, look at anything else, but look to Jesus. So when we turn to him to pray, or we turn to him to worship, or we turn to him to find grace to help, or we turn to him just to be with him, just to love, to learn of him, we turn to the one who can change us from one degree of glory to another. He transforms. I can't change me. You can't change you. But he, with his life, as I behold him, and that look is a look of faith. It's an expectant look. I learn lessons from, one of the lessons that I learn from Pastor Andrea is that she's got a dog, and I learn a lot from Reg. I learn a lot about affection and love for this little thing. But I also learn something about turning and looking and beholding. Because Reg, he's a Westie, by the way, and he's cute as a button. I'm not saying he's perfect by any means, but like you and me, God's changing us from one degree of glory to another. But Reg, when it's lunchtime, we kind of just get into the kitchen just to grab. We just do a snack lunch when we're working. Reg will recognize the moment, and he will come and sit attentively looking at you. Why? Because he's expecting a treat. The boy expects a treat. So, what does he do? Even if my eyes aren't on him, and I got the back of my head to him, I can feel his eyes boring into the back of my head. Why? Because it's a presence. He's there. And you know, sometimes, you know, all you've got to do is come to Jesus like Reg and presence yourself there and look. The thing is, he never takes his eyes off you. He never, never, never takes his eyes off you. He's always got his eyes on you. He's a father who cares for his children. But you know, these button eyes of Reg, they just look at you and bore a hole. And I'll turn to look at him, and he just does this. Just waiting patiently. He knows not to annoy. If he keeps sitting there long enough, he's going to get the treat. And Reg teaches me how to turn to, look expectantly to, with great desire for a treat. Oh my goodness me. Do you know Jesus is the treasure of all treasures? What a treat that you and I have been made holy and blameless. If we can come and look to him and see him with unveiled face, nothing blocking the way. And he gives himself reward. What greater reward could you have than being filled with his fullness? Filled with God himself. So saturated. As we look, it's like all the treats come. And he keeps, the thing is, in John 1:16 it says, of his fullness we have received. Now I love the way that this is put in the Amplified. It says, grace upon grace. That means favor, favor, favor. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Grace upon grace. Then it goes on to gift upon gift. Now we know what gifts look like. They're good stuff. Gift upon gift. And then into blessing upon blessing. Of his fullness, as we look to him, turn our hearts to him, at any moment of any day or night, we receive grace upon grace, gift upon gift, blessing upon blessing. Oh my goodness, no wonder we'll be filled with the fullness of God. And so there's this two things we do, but then the Lord, he does the rest. He gives. We can't. We can't do his bit, but we can do our bit. So to abide in him, it speaks of this constant turning in any moment, conscious that he is there, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he is the giver of himself. He gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. I set boundaries in my gifts to Reg. But he is the God who keeps giving himself. Giving himself. And he wants to fill us more and more and more with his goodness and his grace and his gifts. How wonderful Jesus is. This speaks also of being transformed as we look into the mirror of the glory of the Lord. Now, not everybody will know this, but the Bible, the Word of God, is also a mirror. It's a description of what the Scriptures are. And you know, when we look into the Word of God, we see Him. That's what He says. I want you to see me in the Word. I will reveal myself to you in the Word. So we look. God is presented to us, but also He speaks about who we are as we look into the mirror. His beloved, His chosen, His redeemed, His own special people. His divine plan and purpose is in this mirror. And we are transformed. It's like glory. Glory of God. The glory of God is the weightiness of who He is, the character, the manifestation of God. Everything that He has been in every generation, He wants to be and more in our experience today. In terms of more, I mean the more than, because the Spirit has been given to us and we have Christ living inside us. Oh, isn't it easy then to abide? Turn and look expectantly in prayer and in worship. Turn and look to Him. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I love the truth of disciples. You know, Jesus had people following Him, crowds. Some wanted the miracles, the gifts that Jesus brought. But the disciples, you know, they were a very special bunch. They were ordinary people, but why were they special? Because sometimes when Jesus taught, they didn't get the parables. But what did they do? They went into houses with Jesus. They went into another place on their own with the Lord. And they said to Him, Lord, explain that parable to us. Teach us. And Jesus says, doesn't He? Come to me and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And it's like Jesus wants us to come to Him to learn of who He is, to know Him. Because in knowledge of Him, there is transformation, Zoe life. God impacts us with His glory, and we are being changed as we behold Him. You know, sometimes you won't feel anything. Sometimes the reality of the faith life is, it doesn't always happen as you think it's going to happen. But God promises that if we do this, He will give to us. Our faith is He's a giver. And as we look and do what Jesus says, to abide and get all our lives and resources from Him, He promises to change us from one degree of glory to another. You know, in the years that I've known the Lord, I have experienced seasons of being drawn in a different way. But I know that I know God is drawing us to Himself in this season. And I know it's more than about Christmas. He's your home comfort for Christmas, but it's more than that. It's about His glory being seen in our lives and through the church. That we will be those branches that are so full of Zoe life. Not just joined one in spirit with the Lord, but having the transfer of God's life to us as we behold Him and abide in Him and He in us, then we will be filled with the fullness of God. And so I know in this time, in this season, there is a strong work of God going on in God's people. And you might feel you're only at the beginning of that, or you might be starting that process today in a new way. The good thing is, just like the prodigal who said, I will arise and go to my father. He took the step. He said, I'm going to come out of what I'm in. because I want to go to him. You know, in the Father's house, there's loads of blessings, but more importantly, the Father is there. He's our comfort. He's our shepherd. He's our refuge where we can find a safe place. He's the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. Come to me, Jesus says. Come and drink of me. Because then out of your innermost being, your spirit, your belly, your heart will flow rivers. Don't miss the abiding bit, the coming to bit, the turning to and beholding, because that's the key for the fullness of God. And it doesn't have to be, you know, on your knees in prayer, although it should be. We should be a people devoted to personal time with the Lord. But it's on the move as we go. Christ is in me. I'm turning to you, Lord, in this moment. I'm conscious that I am a dwelling place of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm conscious that I can draw from you, just get to know you, and reality of your presence filling me. Wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. He is all his people need. And I realize, you know, practically, and I'm going to just mention one thing that I know some people are struggling with. In this season of this year of separation, I've had my struggles with it. You know, not being together as a church. For family life, it's been really hard for some people not to see their loved ones. Some people have experienced loneliness, but if you're a Christian, you're never alone. And you don't have to experience loneliness. You can experience Jesus. That's what this word is. Abide in me, and I in you. So there's no separation with him. But there's also home comforts all the day and all the night. With Jesus. You can experience home comforts with him. But I realize too that Christmas is going to be hard for some of you. Because especially in bigger families, you can't all be together if you want to please the Lord and obey the rules, the government. And that's a hard thing because you will be misunderstood. And you'll also feel like you're missing out. Because, you know, it's going to be difficult to make the right choices for bigger families if you're going to honor God. But I want to tell you something. Whatever, we can always have the fullness of his love and his presence in our lives. And yes, we suffer. We're suffering because of all the things that are happening in our world today. But gosh, we can have heaven wherever we are. It doesn't matter because Jesus is our all in all. And so, beloved, if the pain of being on your own or not being able to be with those you love, it's real. But I want to tell you there is a God who comforts. There's a God who restores. And there is a life, Zoe life in you that can give life to every area, your soul being well, even though you're alone. You can be so satisfied with the goodness of who he is, loving Jesus with all of your heart, that actually Christmas becomes about a person, not about geography, things. But more than that, I think God wants to be the life of his people. The Zoe life in our todays, not just at Christmas. Let the Lord, his life, flow through you. Trust him for it. You might not feel a thing, but trust. Like Reg, expecting and go away, even if you don't feel like it. He has transformed you. From one degree of glory to another. Be blessed. Be blessed as you enjoy the home comforts that come with Jesus. Let's pray together. You know, is there anyone out there who's listening this morning who's never accepted Jesus Christ? You might have known his presence. You might have sung songs. You might have even been to church. But you're still not clean. Your sins aren't forgiven until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the only one who died for your sins. He's the only one who loved you enough to leave heaven, become human, die on the cross for your sins and for mine, and rise again from the dead. And if you believe in your heart and want to receive him as Lord and Savior today, then you can. All you have to do is join with me now, and I'll lead you in prayer, but do it from your heart. Turn to him. Turn away from a life of sin, following your own way. And turn your life right now to Jesus Christ. He's there where you are. He's there, right there, present with you. But he wants to come and live in you. He wants to remove your sin, give you a clean heart, and that you will become a place where he lives. Let's pray. If that's you, this is a wonderful moment. And if you're part of this meeting this morning, let's pray for those who are about to receive Jesus. Lord, thank you that you died for my sins. Thank you, Lord, that you offer me your life, that you offer me forgiveness and a new life. You give me a new heart, clean me from all my sins, so that your spirit, your very person, God himself, will come and live in me. And I believe you died for me. And I want to say right now, come and be my Lord and my Savior. Come and live in me. In reality, be my God, the one I will follow all of my days, in the most exciting relationship and the most wonderful, abundant life possible. In Jesus' name, amen. And if that's you, you have been born again. God himself has come to live in you. Amen. It's the best day of your life, because the greatest miracle of all is God has come and he will never leave you or forsake you. And for all of us this morning, let's just pray together before we finish. Father, what a miracle that you should join us with simple believing and receiving Jesus, that you should join us one in spirit with you. What a miracle. Like a branch in the vine, we can receive all the riches of Jesus, the eternal God, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the one who is love, the God of all comfort and grace, the God of mercy, that we can receive you. Lord, we don't just want to have life. We want to have it in its fullness. We want to pray like Paul, that we, come on, let's pray. I want to pray that I will be filled with the fullness of God. Just pray. Lift your hands and just say, Lord, I want this. I want to pray that I will be filled with the Zoe life, the fullness of God. And Lord, as I turn to you right now, I look at you with the eyes of my heart. I behold you, Jesus, the glorious one, the King, who is crowned with many crowns, the one upon your throne. And thank you that even in this look, thank you that you're giving to me right now as I look to you. Grace upon grace, gift upon gift, blessing upon blessing. Come and transform me. Come and transform all of us, Lord, from one degree of glory to another. I pray I wouldn't stay the same, but my soul, my mind will be filled with you, conscious of you in daily life, that I would live returning to my home place, that place where you are always here with me, and that I would experience those comforts of home so that I can comfort others with the comfort that I have received from you. Be glorified in this temple, Lord. Be glorified in my mouth, my eyes, my body. And right now, Lord, be glorified in the healing power of your Spirit in the body of your people. Lord, come and heal. Let resurrection life flood into every being, every person, Lord, today in the name of Jesus. Be healed with his life. Lord, let every promise become a reality with the Holy Spirit fulfilling the word of God, the promise. And Lord, as we behold you and learn of you in your word and in prayer and in worship, Lord, we want to thank you for days of your glory, days of the power and the visitation and the presence of God, that we will be tabernacles living out in the world, revealing Jesus to a hungry, thirsty and dying generation. A generation that are dead in sin, Lord, your glory can make them live. You can make them live. So, Lord, fill us as that branch that is fruitful. And let your nature, your character of love, peace, and joy just fill us, Lord, so that we know there is nothing else that we need but Jesus. I praise you, Father, for the gift. You are the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. God bless you. May you have an abiding week in him, in his word, learning of him, because he's gentle and humble in heart, and in him we find rest for our soul. God bless you. Have an amazing week, and we'll see some of you. I'm hoping lots of you, because we're going to continue beholding him and learning of him at our faith refresher on Wednesday night of this week. That's the 2nd of December, I think it is. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.